All right, we're back, and we're back here with Representative Bob Janetsky. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Duke. It's great to be back on Talk of the Town.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you hear anything about a budget?
Oh, goodness. Come on, Duke. It's been a busy week in Lansing. A busy couple of weeks, as a matter of fact, as you're aware, as the budget makes its way through the process.
Right.
Been a few things going on. First of all, yesterday morning was the Consensus Revenue Estimating Conference, during which the nonpartisan House Fiscal Agency, the nonpartisan Senate Fiscal Agency, and the very partisan Treasury Department all get together and forecast numbers for what the state's going to have to spend for the current fiscal year that we're in right now and then for the fiscal year that we're planning that begins October 1st. Those numbers were, while we still have a budget surplus, it's not as great as it was projected in January. And so for the fiscal year we're in right now and planning for, we're going to have to cut back as far as what people wanted to spend by about $300 million. And, you know, that's a challenge that people are going to have to deal with. Keep in mind, we did have the House versions of the budgets up in front of the House last week. I voted against both of them because I was nervous about going from spending about $48 billion up to $52 billion. And I'm glad I did that in retrospect, looking at the estimates yesterday.
Okay, I think we got a call here. Yes, you're on the line with Bob.
Hi, good morning. I was calling in for a question.
Yeah, you got a question for Bob?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I follow politics from a distance only because I really don't have much to do with it anymore. But I wanted a question about the four candidates running in Allegan in 80th District. What's the take on that? I mean, we have two folks that are from out of the state, and we got, I think one of them is in the Saugatuck area, and the other one is a life. What is he? He lives in Allegan City, and he's been there for a while, but I don't know much about him. I wanted to ask Bob what his take is on that race.
Well, Duke, you live in that county too. The 80th is a good place to be from.
I know there's a lady from South Haven, I believe, running too.
Yeah. Right. What I'm going to tell you is, first of all, they all seem to be nice people. I don't have anything against any of them. You're right. Two of the candidates are fairly new to the district. One moved from Illinois. The other, I believe, from Indiana. The two ladies in the race, nice ladies, nice families. Mr. Brink obviously lives in Saugatuck Township. I believe he's filed a campaign waiver, if I've read that properly. That means that he doesn't intend to spend more than $1,000 on his whole campaign. Typically, that means that people are just trying to make a statement. They're not making a legitimate run for the seat. The newest candidate in the race is Steve Schultz. If I were to guess today, I would say that he would be the winner, only because from what I've seen, he's been elected before. He's the township supervisor down there in Allegan, and has put four daughters through Allegan High School, so he's pretty entrenched in the district. From what I can tell, all the candidates, except for Mr. Brink, have been out knocking doors and working. And again, they're all nice people.
Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
All right.
It's interesting that people are paying attention to that race.
Usually
it's not till about early July that people start asking questions. But
people are very concerned about the fact that you had to give up your job.
Oh, well, it's part of the deal when you take it.
Yeah, I know it.
It's a short-term gig, but I'm still grateful and blessed to have the opportunity through December 31st.
Yeah, that. We've kind of had a pretty good go at it.
I've had a lot of fun and learned an awful lot each day and been blessed to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about the budget.
Yes.
And I mentioned that I voted against the House versions of the budget last week, and then this week I voted against the Senate versions of the budget. I was just concerned it seemed like that jumping up from spending $48 billion that we bududged last year to $52 billion or closer to $52 billion this year was quite a big jump, and I thought that if we go back and look through things real carefully, I'd like to see more money put to roads, and I think there's a few places we could do that. We're hearing that from a lot of constituents, and I also am of the belief that we could put a little. I think some form of tax relief isn't unreasonable. It would be difficult. We'd have to pick and choose. But I voted no on both the House versions of the budget and the Senate versions of the budget. One of the few people to do both of those. We also had a big bill up this week, Duke, relative to teacher evaluations and administrators' evaluations. And what this would do is create a statewide system for everybody to conduct evaluations. And while some people may think, oh, it's got to be uniform, we've got to do it the same place everywhere, I have a lot of faith in our locals. And when we were not in session in March, every day that we weren't in session, I was in a school in Allegan County, and I was observing our teachers, and I was reading aloud for March's Reading Month with our students, and I got to meet some really neat, young, talented people who are teaching our kids, and I got to meet a lot of neat administrators, and I was of the belief that I'd like to give them a little more time to do their jobs before we put a statewide evaluation system on it. Now, throw on the fact that it came with a $35 million price tag in the governor's budget, and I could find a lot better places, I think, to spend the $35 million.
Yeah, I could too, and I think the local people should do the evaluation.
So I voted against that. It did pass, but I voted against it, both in committee and on the floor.
Good morning. You're on line with Bob.
That wasn't very nice what you said about Mr. Brent, because you don't know what he's doing. I think that's not nice at all.
What did I say, ma'am? Oh, relative to him filing the $1,000 waiver. No, that's typically what that's not a slam on his purse or anything. But if you read the campaign finance statements, it appears as if he's filed a $1,000 waiver, meaning that it's a reporting requirement thing, meaning that you won't be spending more than $1,000 on your campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So that's typically it's an indication that if you're not going to spend more than $1,000, that you're not going to be putting a whole lot into
not
the campaign.
And,
yeah, exactly. So a lot of people that do that typically do it to make a statement or so.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a slam on his character. That was just what people typically do when they're only going to file the waiver.
Good morning. On the line with Bob.
Good morning, Bob. Randy Brink here.
Hey, yeah, Randy. Please let me know if I'm wrong as to the waiver or not.
Last time I checked, I was elected to office too at one time, as an Allegan County Commissioner, and I'm the only one running that was an Allegan County Commissioner.
That is true.
Well, you forgot to say that when you were going through your spiel.
Well, I appreciate you adding that to the resume. Can you correct me? Is that incorrect that you filed the $1,000 waiver, or am I wrong?
That's correct. Somebody has to start watching over the state's money.
Okay. No, I appreciate your informing that. I didn't want to be wrong on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yes, I want to know what are we doing here to preserve our water? Because after all these fires in California, they're going to look for places to tap water. That's for certain.
Yeah, I'm, good question. And it's interesting because I was at a conference not too long ago where Bill Richardson was speaking. And if you recall, Duke Richardson, the former governor of New Mexico,
he
wanted to. One of his presidential plans was to tap water from the Great Lakes to bring it to New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And that's always a good concern. I believe currently, and I'm hopeful that we're going to be vigilant with the Great Lakes Water Compact regarding water withdrawals. And I believe with the surrounding states, including the provinces of Ontario and Quebec, that we're able to muster quite a bit of support. But I think when we talk about protecting water from being taken from our state and going out west, that's just as much a federal issue as it is state, because I would think that in order to try and come and steal it from us, they need some kind of federal help.
Yes, but it's in the background, I'm certain.
No, I'm glad you bring it up, because they've been reckless with their water out there. They've built where they shouldn't build. They've run through resources left and right, and we shouldn't have to pay for that.
No, definitely not.
So,
thank you.
Let's all keep vigilant on it. But at this point, I think they'd need a lot of federal help to come and extract Michigan water. I think they'd have to do it by force with feds.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
I know what we can do with the water. Give it to the oil companies, and they'll put billions of gallons in storage underground with their fracking process. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We have a water pipeline.
Well, Michigan's very blessed and fortunate with our natural resources, and the caller's right. You know, some of those states out west have
really put themselves in a bind as far as water. And
they have.
I think we've got some good protections in place long term to make sure that...
An instance of that is in Golden Valley, Arizona, they have allowed some guy to start a farm project. Several thousand acres. This requires water. Don't they know that?
That would just seem like good planning would tell you. You can't do farming where water doesn't exist naturally.
That's
you
right.
Farming in the desert's tough.
Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I was reading a newsletter from the NRA last night. They were saying something about, the House or Senate looking into requiring a registration of shotguns, rifles, muzzle loaders, and airsoft guns.
Whoa, in the Michigan House and Senate?
Yeah.
I've not seen that, but I'm glad to check that out for you. This is in the First Freedom magazine? That comes
it was an email.
Okay.
From NRA. But I want to say it was like, I want to say it was HR 4774, but don't quote me on it.
Okay. I will take a look around, and I'll bring that information back when I next appear on the show. What I can't, A, it doesn't sound familiar. Now, that doesn't mean that some liberal may not have turned in a bill requesting everybody's guns be registered or whatever, you know, for muzzle loaders or shotguns or whatever. That happens, but typically we don't give them a hearing on those things. The benefits of having conservatives in power. But I will look it up, and I'll make sure to bring that information back next time.
Excellent. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye. 395-1450 here, our number, and we better take a look at the weather here. And the weather is brought to you by our good friends at Hoppin' Downtown Fentville. Pizzas, grinders, and specialty appetizers. Doesn't that sound good today? Yes, indeed. Afternoon showers, high of 48, and tonight showers early with a low of 37. Tomorrow, a few showers, high 54. Sunday, a few clouds with a high of 60, and right now, 43 degrees in the Tulip City. Did you get in the parade, Bob?
It was two phenomenal parades, both of them, the Wednesday parade and the Saturday parade in Tulip Time. Really enjoyed it. I'll tell you, I was a little nervous when we were all in DeVos Fieldhouse and could hear the rain pummeling the roof and the lightning and thunder. I was very nervous, but boy, that cleared up, and it turned out to be a great day for a parade. And the crowd seemed really big this year. I thought they had a great turnout.
I think so. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Yeah, talking about the Great Lakes, I'm concerned sometimes about, you hear about these oil spills. And I'm wondering if there are any oil lines under our lakes.
You know, I don't know if there's any oil lines. Actually, I do know. First of all, when you talk about oil spills in the Great Lakes, I think we had that one within the last 3 months down in Whiting, Indiana, which was that a refinery that spilled into the lake or whatever? I think we're all concerned about that. And I know that there's a couple of different states that are going to be, I don't know if they're filing legal recourse, but I know the EPA is looking in that pretty heavily, and my guess is there are going to be some heavy fines down there in Whiting. But there is a line that runs under the Straits of Mackinac, right near the Mackinac Bridge, and I believe it's owned by Enbridge, and my belief is that both the state attorney general and another source has asked Enbridge for information on how recently they've updated that and when they plan to update that, and I think that's relative to that spill that Enbridge had down on the Kalamazoo River just a few years ago.
Those pipelines are being checked, that they're in good condition.
Well, I can't say that I've heard that. What I can say that I've heard is that Bill Schuette, the Attorney General for the state of Michigan, has asked Enbridge for information on when they've most recently checked that and when their plans are to update the pipeline and make sure that it is renewed and in good shape. I read that just within the last couple of weeks.
Okay, I just kind of wondered about that, you know, because we sure wouldn't want to spoil our Great Lakes.
Definitely not.
Okay,
thank you.
And another call coming in. Good morning, you're on the line with Bob. And I guess that's not a call. Hello, good morning.
When you were on before, you said you were going to check into that two-year census that everybody was complaining about. What did you find out about that?
I found out that it is, in fact, going on and that the federal government has been doing it. I appreciate you bringing that up. That's been a couple of months ago.
Because that it says on the letters I get it's voluntary, and that's not true. They keep bugging you.
Yeah, I spoke with a congressman's office who said that in fact you do not have to return that. And they were
But they'll just keep coming to your house then. They come to your door.
Well, they legally they can send someone to your door to ask, but you don't have to give them anything more than, you know, the number of people that live there.
Because then they wanted to know what they did wrong to me because they didn't want to do it anymore. They just won't take no.
That just sounds so the census is continuing to bug you based on the information that you've refused to provide. Hello?
I don't think she's online anymore.
I hope she would call back, because when I talked to the congressman's office, they had indicated that they've had several of these complaints.
Really?
Yeah. And they in fact had one of the sheets of information that people were being asked, and it would seem like there's a better place to spend money right now than harassing people for personal information.
Yeah.
But I don't know if
yeah.
the federal government gets that.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we're here with Bob this morning, and if you have a question for Bob Janetsky, you may call us at 395-1450. We have little time for questions yet, and so call now. Don't wait till, 10 minutes from now. Okay. All right. Well, what's going to be coming up this next week, Bob?
Well, we also had a pretty big challenge yesterday. The state Senate passed a bill that's going to increase the minimum wage. And, you know, there's a bill in the House to take a look at the minimum wage,
yeah.
and that would increase it. The one, if it has to be done, which, given the ballot initiative that's out there that would raise everybody's minimum wage to $10.10 an hour, which is going to cost us jobs and, in fact, raise the price of everything you buy, whether it be gas or, you know, grocery store items or anything like that, and again, end up to a big loss of jobs. The bill that is in the House would, in fact, increase it to $8.15 an hour, but have a different minimum wage for people who were minors, and then in fact increase the tip wage for those who are
yeah.
waiters and waitresses up to, I believe, $2.70 an hour or $2.75 an hour. That's a bill by Margaret O'Brien on the House side. The bill that passed the Senate yesterday is a lot more radical and increases, I believe, up to $9.40 an hour, although it just passed late yesterday. So I don't have all the details. I have a lot of concerns with this because it also ties it to Detroit CPI, which if you look at what could potentially happen to a lot of our restaurants in Lakeshore community and in tourist communities, they might be able to handle the big increase in cost to them during the summer when things are bustling.
Yeah.
But boy, our restaurant choices could really go down in the winter, and they might be laying an awful lot of people off if their expense goes up that much higher. So I'm very concerned about this bill that emerged from the Senate yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It will lead, I believe it'll lead to job losses and going to increase the price of everything you buy every day.
And job losses in the very strata of society that we are concerned about.
The strata of society that needs those jobs most is going to have fewer jobs to choose from because business owners have a threshold that they can afford to pay everybody, and it probably isn't $10.10 an hour right now. I'm very concerned about these. I mean, this is socialism and being dictated by – if you look at the people who are forcing the ballot initiative to raise it to $10.10 an hour – that's all out-of-state money. You know, George Soros and liberal groups are pouring it into Michigan because they've already wrecked states like California and New York and others.
Yeah.
And I think they're envious and jealous of the opportunity here, and they're going to wreck that if we're not really careful and informed voters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think that bill is going to come up to the House next week, and I'm not thrilled that ever emerged from the Senate.
Okay. The governor has someone who is running against him in the next election.
Yeah, Mark Schauer, former congressman out of Battle Creek, a pretty liberal member of both the state Senate and the U.S. Congress. He proudly voted for Obamacare and for a lot of tax increases, and he talks the talk. He's not afraid of admitting he's a liberal.
Yeah, okay. Good morning. You're on the line with Bob.
Hey, Bob, I have a question for you.
Sure.
You guys work on budgets and planning and get Michigan back to where it needs to be, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now, if I have a full-time job and I'm paying taxes just like everybody here in the state of Michigan and in the United States,
yes.
We have to budget our plans at home to make a living, to feed our family, to clothe them, put them to school, pay for fuel.
Yes.
Now, why is it, if we're in deficit, President Obama is sending his 13-year-old daughter on a vacation on our dime? If I can't afford to go on a vacation, how can he send his 13-year-old daughter on a vacation?
Exactly. I'm not going to defend President Obama's vacation opportunities.
Well, can you look into it and find out what's wrong with that picture?
Well, what's wrong with that picture is we've just, if you ask me, both at the state level and at the congressional level, we've appropriated way too much money to executive branches to take travel and things like that.
Well, yeah, that's just very, very wrong. It's not right because, you know, we have to plan for a vacation. We can't just up and leave when we want.
Nope.
You know, we have to save for it, but he spends our money like it is.
They've done a good job of it, and it's not just been Democrats either. The Republicans are just as guilty in situations as that.
Yeah, I understand. It's just, it upsets me that, you know, I can't go on vacation, but his 13-year-old daughter can.
You know, I appreciate you bringing that up because it upsets me from a moral standpoint and the fact that we still have a lot of Americans who are struggling, and I think we're all looking for politicians who understand the day-to-day struggles of Americans. And
we're out of time,
you
Bob.
Don't get to take a $13 million vacation.